We're going to bring up a verse to kick us off with this topic of prophecy and discernment. And it is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, or if you don't, no problem. We have the words on the screen. So it says this in 1 Corinthians 14. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, I was this verse at one point. I embodied this verse because I had been brought up going to churches where the gifts of the Spirit were explained away as something that had finished. So I don't know whether you remember Matt speaking about cessationist churches. It's like to cease. In other words, in the churches that I'd grown up with, the gifts weren't for today. They'd ended with the Bible. And I thought, okay, right. And I went to South Africa as a 16-year-old, and I went on a safari experience and met, I have a South African over there, or Zimbabwean or someone. And when we were there, my friend, who I was traveling with, we met his cousins who live right next to the game reserve. And the first moment I met them, I thought, something's different about these guys. I knew that they were Christians because my friend Jacques had told me about them. Anyway, as I talked and we got talking about things, I realized that these young people, they were my age, were on a different level spiritually than I was. They were talking about speaking in tongues and prophecy. And I was like, whoa, that's finished. That's done. And they're like, well, I speak in tongues. And I'm like, you do? I'm like, yeah. And so I said, go on then. And they did. I'm like, whoa. It was just this moment of paradigm shift. I'm like, but I thought they weren't for today. And yet I've got someone else who's my age speaking in tongues. I'm like, something's... So in that moment, I'm like, I want this. I would love to have what they've got. The way they lived, the way they spoke, the way they acted, I was just saying, I want some of this. I was hungry, thirsty. I was eagerly desiring. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts. I had a thirst for what they had. I was longing for what they had. Well, we prayed. I was going to say prayed all night. It probably lasted until 3 or 4 in the morning with me asking God to fill me with the Holy Spirit and then praying for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And nothing happened. And I think partly was to do with the fact that I was a 16-year-old who was quite, let's say at 16, a young stallion, arrogant, proud. If I could get what they've got, I could go back to my youth group and I could show everybody how amazing I am. So needless to say, God did not grant my request. It was only months later after just longing for more of God's presence. Not because then I could show my youth group that I had a prophetic word from God or I could speak in tongues, but simply because I was hungry to worship him and love him. And in a meeting a bit like this, I was prayed for and was flooded with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues. And from that point on, my life as a Christian changed, my trajectory of what God was doing in my life in terms of my witness for him, the life in God, hearing God for myself, hearing God for others. It was a total transformation. And I would love to be back in that place of that hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if today some of you are wondering and thinking, I do speak to people and I do talk with people, but it never feels like it's really spiritual. It feels like I kind of say a few wise things or I might say a few good words, but it doesn't ever really bring change or real encouragement. And you may be thinking there's something, I'd love to do that because I long for that. Sometimes I feel like, oh, that conversation with someone, I didn't bring something that really helped them or encouraged them or strengthened them, a word that helped guide them. And I really long for that more. Now, I know God has spoken to me at different times with prophetic words that I've brought to people and given to people that's happened. And I love those moments, not because, aha, I've got a gift of prophecy, but because you could see the blessing and the benefit in people's lives. But it may be that for the first time you're thinking, actually, I don't remember that I've ever had something like that, where I've known something from God for somebody else that's really helped them or benefited them. And so this message is for you, because I'm hoping that when we get to the end and we get prayed for, that there'll be a hunger for it and a desire for the gift of prophecy from God, and that we can pray for that at the end. We're going to read the rest of the passage around this first verse that says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love. Don't you love how Paul's descriptions or talking about the gifts of the Spirit is rooted in love? You know, it's like of faith, hope, and love are the greatest of these, will love. And then he goes on to these verses. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. It's a very helpful definition, doesn't it, of tongues, what that is. That's languages that you don't learn, but you can speak. That's a gift. It's like you never learned it, but you receive it. So you're able to speak in a language that you never learned. It's called tongues in the Bible, or languages. And you speak not to people, but to God. So when Christians speak in tongues, it says here that they're speaking to God. They're speaking to Him. They're praising Him. They're speaking of who He is. So when anyone speaks in a tongue, it does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. That is, people around them. They don't quite know what they're saying. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Isn't that great? The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. That's Paul to the church. I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater. That's interesting language. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Let's get a crack at a definition of prophecy. So some people are thinking, I've heard the word and I know it, and it's kind of in medieval times, and it's something from the past. Well, prophecy, a definition, if we can take some of the aspects of this verse, is a message from God spoken to people for their encouragement. How about that? All right? It's pretty simple. It's a message from God spoken to people for their encouragement. Now remember that it's a spiritual gift. Remember that it says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. So this is from God. It is not from you. This is an ability from Him. So the word, the message, comes from God. And it's spoken through you to people for their encouragement. The one who prophesies speaks to people. And the character of this prophecy is strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. This is like the character, the way it comes through, the style, the flow, the pace, the kind of the aroma, if you like, of prophetic words, is that it's to encourage. It's not to tear down, it's to build up. It's to bless, it's to help. And these words that in the original language, the word encourage here is the same word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit as the paraclete, or the kind of legal aid who comes alongside and helps. The Holy Spirit describes Himself as that, the one who comes alongside. Do you remember when Jesus said, I will go, but I will send another one who will be with you? And this imagery of the Holy Spirit being with us, alongside us, to comfort us and to help us. And this is the same word that's used to describe what prophetic words should do, what prophecy does. It draws alongside, it encourages and helps. Comfort. I mean, just love this word, thinking of prophecy in terms of comfort. Consolation, that's the word. Consolation calms the storms of fear, anxiety, and despair. It helps us rest in the presence of Jesus. It leads us away from the hectic bustle of daily affairs, away from the recklessness of this life, and into great peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful description of consolation or comfort? And that's the feeling, that's the framework of prophecy and what it's to feel like when somebody is bringing a prophetic word to you, that it encourages you, strengthens you, helps you, it takes you into the presence of Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And Paul is contrasting the gift of tongues with the gift of prophecy. I don't know whether you noticed that. It was quite evident. Because tongues only edifies the speaker, the individual, but if you prophesy, it edifies the church. Tongue edifies yourself. It's for you and God, unless there's an interpreter, and then people are kind of let in onto the conversation. It's like picking up a receiver and hearing, you know, with old-style telephones when, well, some of you don't even know, you know, you pick it up and you dial the number and then you say, hello? In another part of the house, you could pick up another phone that looked like that and pick up and join and listen to the conversation. And so this is a little bit like if somebody speaks in a tongue that you don't understand and somebody else has the gift of interpreting that, they're able to explain to you what that person was saying. But generally, tongues is for the person between them and God, but prophecy is for all of us to be involved with. I'm going to go over to the piano here, and hopefully I'm coming off stage camera, but I'm going to be playing a little bit of music as I go along. Don't worry, I'm not up to Pete's standards. It says this in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm coming. If I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will it be to you? Unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction, even in the case of lifeless in things that make sounds like this, such as a pipe or a harp or a keyboard, how will anybody know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the tune that's being played? Ah, that's a bit better. I can get that. Thank you. Thank you. That is much better. Paul is using the analogy of instruments. It's like if you heard that racket that I was doing before, you are not edified. You are not built up. You are not helped. It is like noise. Paul is saying, I would rather you speak a few words of intelligible language than thousands in tongues or in another language, because I want people to be edified and built up and helped. I love Paul and his illustrations. Not that he had an electric piano, but same thing, harp, lyre, zither, and all those. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:18-19, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Isn't that helpful to help us with the kind of focus of our kind of spirituality or the gifts? Sometimes we can overemphasize like tongues and those, but actually Paul is saying, no, don't go and overemphasize that. I would rather you say 5 words that people can understand that helps them than 10,000 words in tongues. Isn't that great? Really important that we see the emphasis that Paul wants to have in the church, something that helps us, lifts us up, builds us up, and helps us. Right. So, what does prophecy, why is Paul wanting us to prophesy? Well, firstly, prophecy brings revelation. No, sorry, I said that. That's two. Yeah. Prophecy encourages the believer. So I've talked about that. I've been talking about that for the last 5 minutes. I just didn't give you that heading. So that's good, isn't it? So that's great. So that's why Paul wants people to prophesy. Oh, maybe I did say it. Anyway, that's why Paul wants us to prophesy, because it encourages the believer, and all the things I've just said supports that point. Excellent. Point number two. Prophecy brings revelation to the unbeliever. Now, this is really helpful because Paul is aware that when we meet together as the church, there are people with us who are on a journey to faith. They are looking, they are wondering, they are asking questions. And Paul is aware of this, which is brilliant. Paul's so aware of different groups of people in the church. So he says this in 1 Corinthians 14:23-25. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? Yeah, they would. It's like, what is going on in that church? But, Paul says, if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everybody is prophesying in English, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Paul is saying that when there's prophecy, when there are prophetic words, it can unlock hearts of people who are seeking, who are looking, who are wondering about Christianity, about Jesus. And when words are brought that come from God into their lives and their situation, it can cause them to gain revelation of who God is and declare, wow, God is really here in this place with you people. Wonderful. We've got a number of guests with us today who are inquirers, as Paul would put it. I love that word, inquirers. And they are people who have been on our Alpha course over the last few weeks, and three of them at least are here today. And on the invitation that we made on Alpha to say, come and do Alpha at church. We've done Alpha, looked at the videos, talked about church, talked about who's Jesus, talked about how does God guide us, talked about prayer, talked about the Bible. And this week was last week was an invitation, come and do Alpha at church. Come and see what we've been talking about. And I'm not going to embarrass you because I'm not going to ask them to stand up, but it is so great to have you here. And we're really glad you came. And I really hope that you do experience like these early inquirers back 2,000 years ago had the same experience. I'm praying that you too would encounter Jesus and come to know him. So there is a direct link of the prophetic to salvation. There's like a pathway as people hear the word of God that they are shaped, changed, encouraged, and they can come to Christ. Jesus has an amazing example of this in his life. It's not just in the New Testament, but also in the life of Jesus. And we see him when he was meeting a woman at a well. He was walking out during the day, and he needed a drink, and his disciples had gone to get food, and he starts speaking to a woman from Samaria. And they have a bit of a conversation. And at one point, he says, why don't you go and get your husband? And she says, I don't have a husband. He said, no, the fact is you've had four husbands and the man you're living with now is not your husband. So it's like, ah, oh, wow. She's like, oh, I can see you're a prophet. I mean, it's recorded in the Bible. That's what she said. Oh, okay, all right, I can see you're a prophet. I mean, that was like exposing, but it was done in love and challenge. And it was Jesus knowing this woman's life and able to speak directly to her. And the result of that encounter and that prophetic word, that word from God that Jesus had for this woman, was that she ran back to her village to tell them, come and see and hear the man who told me everything I ever did. It changed her. It brought the revelation of Jesus being the true God to her because he brought that prophetic word to her. Isn't that amazing? And then it talks about all the other people came and said, we don't now just believe because you told us he told me everything I ever did, but now we believe on the words that he said ourselves. And so a whole group of Samaritans came to Christ, came to know Jesus through that encounter of the woman with Jesus. Very exciting, isn't it? That's what Paul's alluding to, the prophetic word that unlocks hearts and leads people to Jesus. Right. Good. What did you say? Have we got some? What's our time? Nearly there? 5 minutes? Good. All right. So I'm going to do a few practical explanations for prophecy. So if we go on to the next slide. There we go. Prophecy 101. You may be thinking, okay, great. You've talked about we want to have prophecy. We want to have prophetic words. We want to have this gift. What does it mean to hear God speak in order to be able to give it to you? Remember, it's a message from God given to us, spoken to others for their encouragement. Well, the first place that we gain our inspiration or that the words or the message comes to us is through the Bible. So God will often put a verse from the Bible on your heart, your mind, when you're praying for someone, and God will give you a verse that you've memorized or one that you maybe don't memorize, but you know the gist of. And you know that God is wanting you to share that verse with the person you're praying for. So, and this is our foundation layer for prophecy. It's like we want to test everything that we say according to the Word of God. So this is our starting place, and it's a great way to be able to bring prophecy to people, that their words from the Bible, their stories or phrases or teachings that you know God has put on your heart to give to someone else. But there's also thoughts or sentences or even single words that God puts into your mind. Now, you may think God puts words into your mind. Well, yes. I mean, God communicates to us through our channels of communication. Audible voice from God is rare, but people hear. But thoughts into our minds, when you think something, you think, I know that's from God. It's not my own thinking. It's God speaking into your mind. It's a sentence or a phrase, and you know God is highlighting something that you wouldn't have thought of if it hadn't been for him. So it's a phrase or a thought or a sentence or even a single word that God gives you that you are to give as a message to someone else. It could be in pictures. Some of you are very creative, and that when you receive a prophetic message from God, it's actually in the form of a picture. So you're seeing an object, or you're seeing a scene, or you're seeing maybe a vision of a kind of moving picture. That's a vision. You kind of got it's like a few reels of film going together. And then you may have that, and you're like, I know this picture is for someone. Or lastly, it could be a life lesson or an object. So something that maybe you're familiar with, things in the normal to's and fro's of life, the things, the objects that are in our houses and our gardens, and when we walk, when we're around, things that God uses to speak to other people with. So we see in the New Testament, we see Agabus taking off his belt and prophesying. He says, with this belt, I'm going to tie your hands. And so he ties Paul's hands, and he tells him, if I can get it off. Oh, you know what? I've just caught the mic. There we are. Don't worry. They're not going to fall down. There we are. Mic's not going to fall down. So he takes it, and he uses this, and he ties Paul up. He says, in this same way, you're going to be bound and taken to the authorities. So it's like it was actually a prophetic word about the future of Paul's life and what was going to happen to him. But it was a normal object. It was a belt that was holding up. Well, not quite like that in those days, but it was an object that was used as a prophetic demonstration, as a picture of what God was saying. So I hope you see that there are multiple ways that God can give you a message. And I think it's very important we don't lock into there's only one way, because God can speak. I mean, it's God. He can speak through anything. I mean, in the Bible it talks he spoke through donkeys. I mean, he can speak. So sometimes you think that's a bit weird that somebody's telling me they had a picture of this. Well, there's precedent in the Bible. So let's be open to how God wants to speak to us. Then lastly, as I finish, it's really important that we just exercise a bit of discernment, because you could say, oh, I've just had a thought, and then I'll tell that person that thought. We actually have to have discernment to have a grid with which to run through the things that we think God is saying to us. And this is really important. The first one is which spirit? And this is the kind of top level discernment level. And this, I don't think, is often going to happen, but it's just really important to mention because it's in the Word of God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now that's top level discernment. If someone is bringing a prophetic word that is honoring Jesus, is recognizing that he rose from the dead and that he has come in the flesh, is of God. But if it was putting Jesus down, if it was not recognizing that, then it is another spirit not to be trusted and not to be listened to. So that's our top level. If somebody is bringing something that is putting Jesus down, is something that is not recognizing his lordship, is not recognizing the authority of the Word of God, then we're not to listen to it. Fortunately, at church here, that's not happened in my time that I've been here. But we still need to be careful and discern at that top level. Secondly, next one, we need to ask a few questions. Who is this for? Because you may receive a message from God or a picture or a scripture, and you need to ask yourself, who is this for? Is it for me or is it for us? Is this word that I've received, is this sense or picture or scripture for me, or is it to share with everybody? That's a really important discerning question that you need to ask. The second question is, when is this for? Is this for now? I've received something, you're at the back there, do I go to the front and share with one of the leaders, said, this is what I feel is God has spoken to me? Or is it something you think, no, I don't think this is for now, this is something for me for later? And lastly, does this flow with what the Holy Spirit is already doing in the meeting? Rather than, I've got something that says, God wants us to be more radical in our worship. Well, we've been having a few prophetic words, and the whole flow of the meeting has been going towards God loves the brokenhearted and those that come to him. Your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And you're here going, we need to be more worshipful, more radical in the worship. And it's like, suddenly you're off. You know, what the Holy Spirit is doing. So we need to be sensitive to what is God saying, what God has been saying, and what he wants to say is often in alignment. And I know that you've experienced that as people bring words like, oh, I had the same as that person who went before, or I had the same picture. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to us and encouraging us. And lastly on this, I didn't write it down, but I think it's really important that we don't try to put a lot of application or interpreting the message. It's like we get something from God, maybe a verse or a picture or something, and sometimes we can kind of go beyond it and say, I think it means this in your life, and you're this and this, and that means you need to do this. I think we need to be very careful that we don't go too far with the interpretation and the application, but we simply bring the message that God has given us. That's okay. We don't have to have the fancy interpretation and application. We want to bring what God has given us and share it with them, and believing that God will show them the interpretation and the application. Amen. Wonderful. Let's stand. The band could come up, it'd be great. I want to remind you that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts. It's a phrase, charismata. That's why we call it charismatic church. And charis is grace. So the charismata, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're grace gifts. It's not dependent on what we've done, our Bible knowledge, how long we've been a Christian. It's a grace gift from him. And also to remember that prophecy isn't perfect now. Paul says we prophesy in part. It's not that it's totally accurate. We prophesy in part. We don't see everything. We share what God has given us, trusting that as we speak it to others, they are encouraged, benefited, and helped, and supported. So as we come and worship, I just want us to lift our hands to Jesus. And if you want to, I just want to encourage you to ask him to give you the gift of prophecy. You may never have done that, but now's a moment just to ask him, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and I really long to be a blessing to others. I really want to encourage people. I really want to bring words that edify and help and comfort and support.